Father, you know everything.
Yes.
And all of it's in your hands, Lord. And we just ask that you touch this baby.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, restore the growth.
Yes.
And health.
Yes.
And bless the mother and the father.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we give you praise and glory because you are in control of everything.
Oh, hallelujah.
And Lord, whatever comes, you get the credit and
Jesus.
Not blame, because we know that all things work together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purposes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we just thank you.
Yeah.
Lord, touch the class today and
yes,
open our hearts to receive your word and to grow by it.
Amen.
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 Okay, I think that last week we had a good conversation about the glasses would help. I forgot to yell, ask Margaret. I'm sure she was ready. It's a little bit.
I can go check if you want.
Hey, Margaret, are you recording? Okay. Sorry for screaming, everybody. We talked about verse 9 quite a bit about let love be without dissimulation. So let's start today at verse 10. And unless anybody has anything else they'd like to bring out of what we were talking about last week. And let's see, how should we go? Let's stop at 15, okay? 10, read 10 through 15, my reader man, Mr. Buddy.
Love one another with brotherly affection as members of one family. Give, when I say that one word,
President,
and showing honor to one another. Never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice and exalt in hope. Be steadfast and patient in suffering and tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of God's people, sharing in the necessities of the saints, pursuing the practice of hospitality. Bless those who are persecuted, you who are cruel in their attitude towards you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, sharing others' joy, and weeping with those who weep, sharing others' grief.
Amen. You know, I was thinking when I read those things, there are people who say, well, you know, I just talked last week about the difference between decree and a love note from your father, and people would say, oh, see, there are commandments there. I thought to myself, no, that sounds more like just a love note from your father. You know, a wonderful, wise, loving father who is talking to his child.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly the way that feels to me. It's an encouragement. Be this way as much as you can. Try this, you know. And it's giving these children tools to mature. And so that's the way I choose to look at these things, not as, well, you better do this or you're going down on the cellar steps for 6 hours, you know. That's how we used to get punished when we were kids. We could put on the cellar steps till we could obey, which was sometimes pretty long time.
Obviously, it didn't work.
So
you had it made because we got the switch.
Yep. Yes.
Well, obviously it didn't work in her case.
She did switch up.
Oh, you're going to the cellar step, Mike.
You don't have cellar steps, do you? Same cellar steps are down at my brother's house. Every time I go down in the basement at my brother's house, I think to myself, oh, there's a cellar step. But, you know, I always used to say to myself that we never did find any dead children's bones down there on the cellar. Somehow you always got out off of the cellar steps without too much terrible happening to you. it was okay. Sometimes you just really needed a timeout.
Yeah.
Was that a quiet place about 7 steps?
Mm-hmm. And it was cool.
Yeah.
Our cellar, you know, it didn't even have drywall. It was kind of lumpy. I don't know how you explain it.
Unfinished?
Totally unfinished, yeah. Still is. Oh, well. Anyway, so let's start then with kind of chat about, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. This is what the King James says for verse 10. In honor, preferring one another. Anybody got anything there? I love the word it says brotherly love.
I said this last week when we were talking about only a mind renewed by the Holy Spirit could possibly do this.
Say that again, please.
Only a mind that is renewed by the Holy Spirit could possibly do this. Mm-hmm. I like what you said. These weren't commandments, but I think they were polite words that you could weigh mm-hmm. once given, mm-hmm. and you would choose them. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's something about brotherly love that leaves room for a lot of shenanigans, too. I mean, when you have brothers and sisters, there is a lot of love there, but there's also a lot of elbowing, and there's, you know, anybody who comes from a large family knows you got to get tough or die, you know, if you're in a large family. And that's true. You don't love anybody like you love your brothers and sisters.
That's true in this body.
Yes, it is. Yeah. A lot of shenanigans, is that what you're talking about?
That's true in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
A lot of times you got brothers and sisters, and you're closer to those that are in the church.
Yes. Yes.
The thing about it is with your brothers and your sisters, like you said, sometimes in the natural, you know, you don't always get along mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. But when you get into a pinch, who usually is right there for you right then? Mm-hmm. Your brother or your sister, you know.
Exactly.
And the thing about it is that my question to everybody sitting in here, who is your brother, who is your sister?
Who's in front of you?
Isn't it everybody that you come in contact with?
Yeah.
If you believe that they're a child of God, and so they're your brother or they're your sister, whether you agree with them or not, you might even be at odds with them, mm-hmm. but you still have to show them brotherly kindness, you know, and brotherly love. And we and like I said last week, love is not something you feel. Love is something you do. Mm-hmm. You know, you can say, "Oh, honey, you're the cutest thing, and I just think you're so sweet," and then you can treat the person like a dog and mistreat them and everything else. Well, you know what? Those are just words. But if you treat the person with love and with respect and all that, that's showing them that you love them. That's not, you know, so there's a balance always in works and in grace. You know, there's a total balance there, you know. If you know, just like we said last week, if somebody's hungry, you don't go to them and say, "Well, go and be fed and be warm, you know, I know you're cold, but go and be that," without you being willing to feed them or help them or do something for them, you know what I mean? That's where you really show people that you love them, you know.
I can't remember, Oscar might remember, I can't remember who the brother was that talked about sharing and breaking bread with us. Uh-huh. And that was on a Sunday that we were eating here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
he was about ready to leave with another brother to go out to dinner. I said, "Well, I think you'd have more influence if you stayed here and broke bread with us." That's what you just said.
Yeah.
And he did.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, sometimes I think there's a lot to be said about putting the rubber behind what you know, rubber on the road, you know, about making contact, and you are what you say. I mean, a lot of people don't like that. But I think God's put us in a position to prove all things, and that includes ourselves.
You talk about families in the natural. You may be angry with your brother or sister, but don't let anybody else try.
That's what I was just going to say.
Because you're going to defend them. I know in our family, there's five kids, and I was the middle child.
Right.
And I was an advocate for my younger brother and sister. Even just to my dad sometimes, I didn't think he'd go with us. And I would take up him. He said, this is between me and your brother and sisterly. And I can tell you times that he let them leave the room and I got the whipping because I kept talking for them, but I always.
My oldest sister was like that. When we were little, if we did anything, she'd say she did it. You know, Sue.
Yeah.
She'd say she did it.
That's her personality.
And she'd take whatever punishment there was. She did that all the time when we were growing up.
Oh, precious. Lay down her life for her friends.
You know,
she would have given you the shirt off her back. I mean, that's what kind of person
she was. I had a sister that passed away down in Florida, and we went down, we flew down and went to the service and everything. Well, I stayed down there an extra day that I didn't know I was going to stay, with a bunch of nephews and nieces that I didn't know very well. And my one sister said, Clyde, you got any good stories about Dad? Because, you know, when he's Mike, I was just a little kid. And I said, yeah, I got one. And we had a lilac bush in our yard. Good switch, by the way. That's a good switch. Got knots in it. And we had one of those cigar trees parked next to the driveway. And back then, his car didn't have no side view mirror. So he had to open it to look back. Well, when he opened it, he came back and got that door stuck in that tree. And it just so happens it was on our way to church. Well, Chuck and me were in the back seat and we laughed. I mean, you know, we're just little kids, we're laughing. He pulled forward, put that car in park, got the knife out of his pocket and got him a switch.
There went the laugh.
And I mean, he whipped it on us. And she said, well, haven't you got any good memories? I got like this. Well, one thing, I said, I'm old enough. I think I'd have done that. But the other thing is, it didn't kill us. We're still here in front of you. And you know what? As you get older, your patients usually don't, you don't possess your patience.
Mm-hmm.
You possess your emotion. And when somebody's laughing at you and you're about 63, 64, and you're about ready to go to the other side, before I go, I'm going to give you a whipping. And I told her, I said, that is a good memory. That might be one of the very few that I have with my dad. But don't take them as though they're bad. I'm telling you, that's a good memory. But when Debbie was gone over with Susan over to Europe, I made sure that lilac bush disappeared. I put it in a double driveway and watched it where it went.
In the Passion, the same verse says, be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believers as members of one family. Try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor of one another. When I read that, I thought to myself, you know, the spiritual truth there is that it's even more than members of one family. We are members of one another.
Yes.
In truth, we are all one, which is why the Lord's Prayer says, forgive us as we forgive others. Because, you know, I always wondered about that in that prayer, that, oh, God always forgives us, you know. So why would it say, forgive us our trespasses, Father, as we forgive others? It's because you do it to one of these, the least of my brethren, you do it unto me.
Yes.
You know, whether it's a, quote, good thing or, quote, an evil thing, you know. As you do it to one of these, the least of my brethren, you do it unto me. God finds identity in the least of our brethren. Isn't that amazing?
Well, the thing about it is we have to realize that Jesus was the pattern son. Mm-hmm. And he was the firstborn. He actually the firstborn of a new creation. And, you know, because we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You know, we've been born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And, you know, when you come to realize that he's the pattern son, what did he do to the people who mistreated him the worst?
Forgave them.
He forgave them. He loved them. Mm-hmm. He died for their sins. Mm-hmm. And if we find ourselves doing less than that, then we actually need to do what you were just saying there. You know, we kind of put a kibosh on our forgiveness, you know, because what did Jesus, when he told the parable about the man who owed the money, remember that? You know, and he forgave him that he owed him some money. Then he went out to somebody that owed him a little bit of money, and boy, he was going to take him to court and, you know, all this, turn them over to the tormentors and everything else. And then what happened with the Lord? He said, well, in that parable, he said, their forgiveness was taken away then, you know. And you know, that's that old golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Not what they do unto you. And a lot of people try to say, but do it first, you know, and you know, they try to pervert that, but that's not really what that says, you know, and we basically need to ask the Lord. I mean, we can't do this in our own strength, naturally, like Clyde said, but when we find ourselves, and we do find ourselves in these positions a lot of times, you know, and what we need to do is ask the Lord to help us the next time we get in that kind of a situation to do different. You know,
don't you think that we'll find ourselves in that position, whatever it may be, good or bad, indifferent, until we learn what God's teaching us?
Yeah.
Be consistent. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you said it last week
Well, welcome to my world.
Well, you know, the thing about it is that, you know, the reason I think that the Lord allows us to fall short in things sometimes is because you have a tendency that if you've overcome something, the farther you get down the road from that, you know, you sort of tend to forget, and you sort of tend to sometimes almost get proud and think, well, bless God, I overcame that, you know, years ago, you know, and all that.
You get a little haughty
or a little high-minded about it. Well, a lot of times what will happen if you do that, you'll find out that the Lord will let you slip right back down and do that thing
right
again.
On down.
And you know, I had that happen to me one time years ago where the Lord had taken something away from me, and I thought, man, I was thinking, and this is, I was a really young Christian, and I was thinking, bless God, I tell you what, he better come back. And I thought, whoa. And you know what? That makes you not be judgmental when you see other people in that same position, because then you say, well, praise God, I know exactly where they're at. I've been there, and sometimes I find myself all there now, you know. You know, I mean, you know, I had some new cable put in my house, that fiber optic cable. Oh, Lord. They put that thing in, and the guy was supposed to be setting it up. Well, I didn't get their whole internet stuff. I just got the fiber optic cable. Well, I had like Roku, you know, in my house, you know. So I had to buy a router and all the stuff. But anyway, just not to tell you the whole story. But anyway, after he left, I kept trying to turn things on and get it working. Man, I was about ready to cuss a blue streak. I didn't, but I was about ready to. And you know what time I got it fixed? 5 o'clock the next morning. I was up all night messing with that, because I went to bed and I thought, daggone it. And you know, it was just aggravating the heck out of me because I couldn't get it going. And I did everything the way that I was supposed to do it, you know. And what I ended up finding out was that when he went back, it was late when he got done, when he went back, he probably didn't send in his report that everything was completed, you know.
Running, huh?
Well, all of the codes and everything I was putting in wouldn't work. And they would tell me, well, you need a stronger this or stronger that. And I kept changing stuff, trying to do all this. And I did that stuff all night long. The next morning, I sat down and I did the very first things that I did the night before, and everything started working. So I knew that was what it was. Yeah. He hadn't turned that in. He hadn't, you know, made it to where I could get access to everything, get everything to work. And I'll tell you what, I was so aggravated.
You mean to tell me they didn't have anybody to show you how to do that?
No. I usually can figure that stuff out, but I mean, I was just pulling my hair out. And
is that
I know,
the same guy that you had the long talk with about the kingdom of God?
No. That guy was like a salesman and some kind of higher up guy. Actually, he did call me a couple of times because they were supposed to come twice and didn't come. Mm-hmm. And he's giving me a couple months free and all kind of stuff, yeah. You know, trying to be nice about it, I guess. But I had told him, I said, if they don't show up Friday, I said, I'm done with you. I said, you know, but you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you can find yourself get put in positions where you get really aggravated and mm-hmm. really worn out. And I was thinking, I told Margaret, I said, boy, I sure haven't showed no patience with this. I said, this has really gotten to me. You know, because I started messing around with that at 6 o'clock that night when he left, after he left. And it was 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning the next day when I actually got everything working. And Margaret, she'd stayed up part of the night too because I was roaming around trying to do stuff. Because we got some TVs in most of the rooms. And I went upstairs the next morning and I said, you don't have the TV on? She says, well, it don't work. I said, yeah, it works. I said, I was up here last night when you was asleep. And I got working. she said, but anyway, I was pretty aggravated. But
everybody has their things.
But you know, you have those things.
Yes.
They happen to you. And I don't care how far along in the Lord you think you've come. He lets you know you still ain't there yet. You're still not quite there. You know, there's you got these things. You know, you get aggravated, you get upset about this or that. You know.
I when it comes to computers and things, just like what you're talking about, and somebody walks in and says to me, "Oh, I know what that is. This will just let me look at it. It'll just be a minute." I don't want to ever hear that. It'll just be a minute because 3 hours later, you know, they're still.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is like, I got a computer when I was about 20-something, you know, and it was a little, you know, like a Commodore-type, you know, Atari-type computer, and I felt like I was supposed to buy it when I bought it, because I felt like that the Lord would have me use that sometime to write things or whatever, and that's how I do all my sermons. I mean, I have them printed out, because I print all my notes out and everything, you know, but I compile it all together. But anyway, I'd learned just enough to be dangerous, you know.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I mean, and the funny thing is I will have to say this. Now, I had a brother who did some computer work for us at our shop down there when I was still working with Wiley. And, you know, Wiley had him come in one Saturday to do something. And he asked me, would I stay with him, you know, because he wanted to leave. And I said, yeah, I'll stay with him. And I'm standing there and I'm watching, and I thought, uh-oh, what's he doing? You know, I mean, and I'm not, I can't program computers and all that, you know, I mean, the actual program part. But I'm looking at this and I thought, that don't look right. I said to him, I said, hey, I got a question for you. I said, why did you do what you just did? Mm-hmm. And he got this kind of crappy-looking grin on his face. And he says, well, I says, I seen you change a date in there. And I said, why did you change that date? And here's what he told me. He says, well, you know, he says, when you make programs for people, you have a drop-dead date where
they have to call
when you hit
back.
That date, stuff will quit working. And I said, well, you know, I said, that don't hardly seem right to me. I said, if I sold you a car and it had a drop dead date and you don't know what the drop dead date is and you're driving down the street and it drops dead on you, I said, you're going to be upset if you find out I'm the one that put that program in there to make that do that. I said, now, if you sell somebody a program, that program should be their program, you know. And he got this funny look. He said, well, you know, it's about the money. And I said, well, I said, you know, and this next thing, this next verse we'll get into, that's being slothful in business. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and I kind of called him on that. Mm-hmm. And he went back in and jacked the date way up again, where it was way out in the future. But I told him, I said, that's not right. And he did some computer work for me a couple of times, which was nice, you know. And I tried to pay him different times. He would never let me pay him, you know. And that was nice that he would do that. But also, I would try to get him to show me something. He never would show me anything. He wouldn't show me how to do anything, you know.
Because then you wouldn't need him.
Right.
Exactly.
But that's, that computer stuff, it's kind of, you know, it's a little tricky. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but why would they even like put something in the future?
In the program.
Why does it leave alone?
Well, see, because it would just keep working right on and on and on unless,
get a payday
unless something got messed up. He got a payday because he had they'd have to call, you'd have to call him and he'd have to come in and straighten it out. And the bad thing about it is originally with this, you know, when my brother was trying to get everything computerized in the shop, this is many years ago, he said something to me about it, and I said, well, I know a guy and he's really good with computers. I said, maybe he could give you some advice on what program to buy. Well, he didn't give him advice on what program to buy. He created a program for him, you know,
so he could control it.
Yeah. And you know, but every once in a while the program would get a glitch and quit working or something. Well, you'd have to call him in and you'd pay him 30, 50, whatever it was an hour to fix it, you know. And, you know, but sometimes when you, that's the thing on this next verse, and I mean, we're probably jumping ahead here by saying all this stuff, but being slothful in business. If you're in business and you're a Christian, the same principles that you use in your Christian life should be used in your business life.
Yeah.
If you are using the program, so to speak, I'm saying of how people do things in the world, if you're doing the same thing that the world does, then shame on you.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you that because the Lord's not pleased with you when you do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to have my brother a lot of times. Sometimes if he had lied to a customer, you know, and he would tell someone else, not me, to take the phone call because he knew I wouldn't lie to him.
Yeah.
And I actually talked to a customer one time when he was gone, and he had, you know, he wanted to find out the status of his job. Well, I didn't get involved in all the things that Wiley did except for when he was gone or on vacation or was going to be gone for a long time or something. Then I would get involved because I had my own thing that I did. But anyway, I went and I said, well, hold on a minute. And I went around and checked in his shop to find out what the status of all of his parts were, when his job would actually be done. And I came back and I said to the guy, I said, well, I think we'll have it done by 2 days from now, you know, Friday or whatever it was. His reply was, you wouldn't lie to me, would you? Now that's pitiful. Mm-hmm. When your customer says, you wouldn't lie to me, you know what that tells me?
Somebody else.
He knows you've been lying to him a lot of times. And I thought, man, I'm not trying to knock my brother, but because he hadn't given his life to the Lord. He was functioning in the world's system, you know what I mean? And that's the way the world is. But let me tell you what, if you're a Christian and you're running a business, you should be running a business the same as you do with Christian principles. And if you're not, then I'll say this, God's not pleased with you. You might get blessed, but somewhere down the line, you're going to get a spanking for that, you know, in one way or another, because that's just not right. And I've heard that from different people who've worked for Christian people, where they've actually said, well, you get one thing at church and you get something else out there in the business world. Well, no, that shouldn't be like that, you know, because either you're going by godly principles or you're not. Yeah. And if you're going by godly principles, it should be up straight down the line. And you know, but anyway, I should have told you all that probably, yeah. But
I was saying that
that's right where we're going.
My dad quit school because there was a big family, like
right.
10, 13 children. And so the older ones helped, you know, support the family and everything. He learned as a kid up, because he could, he as an adult,
yeah.
He could do electrical and plumbing, mm-hmm. and could make things, you know, carpentry.
Right.
Well, he worked, the business he had worked at, he was learning the electrical, and this man, they became friends.
Yeah.
And he said, he come home telling us he was mad because he said, you know that, I forget the nickname he had, he does something that he knows is going to go down on working part electrically, because if he got called back in, because right. he's always on call,
right.
even for 5 minutes, he got paid for 4 hours.
Yeah.
And my dad said mm-hmm. that was so crooked, and yeah. he said, I'm not going to be working with him and let him teach me anything, because he's ripping off the company.
And, you know, I had a brother in the Lord one time, and this was a brother in the Lord, asked me for some counsel, and I said, okay, and they asked me about this particular situation, and in this situation, this guy had another Christian brother, and this other Christian brother had this account where he was going to get paid some money, say, and apparently there was a conflict, and the other brother, his business was very, very small. And the brother asked me, he says, well, he says, the guy called me up and says, I can't believe that you would do this to a brother, you know, try to undercut him in this business. And he says, can I ask you what you think about that? I said, well, let me ask you a question. And he said, what's the question? I said, if you lose that account, will it really hurt you financially? And he got real quiet, and I said, will it really hurt you financially? Well, no, not really. I said, will it really hurt him financially, mm-hmm. big time? Well, yeah, it probably would. I said, well, then you tell me what you should do. He's your brother. That's all I said. I didn't say you should do this or you should do that. And you know what? I don't know what the person did, but I'm gonna tell you, he didn't come and ask me advice very often after that. Now, he did ask me one other time about something, and you know what his reply was after I told him? He said, how did I know that you would say what you just said? Now think about that. How did he know? Because God was already dealing with me.
Yes.
You know, and he had sent me to reinforce what he had said to him. Now, whether or not he did it in that situation, I don't know either. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you what, when you get into this business thing, and is it worth making money to have to cheat or to have to steal or to have to mm-hmm. mistreat somebody else or bring them down to nothing? I mean, you know, somewhere the Christian principles have to kick into all facets of our life. And we all fall short in this. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, because, I mean, you know, we all make mistakes and sometimes do the wrong thing and stuff. But I mean, you know, when you get down to just your everyday business situation, you know, do you keep your word? Do you do what you say you'll do? You know, all those kind of things. Because I tell you what, if you don't, and then you go back and try to deal with someone who, you know, who you're trying to witness to, they will not receive your witness, because they'll say, well, you know, this brother's saying one thing and doing something completely different from what he yeah. says, you know. So, you know, you can talk a big game sometimes, but if the rubber don't meet the road, when it gets down to the, you know, the little things in your life, you know, and like I say, don't get me wrong, I'm not judging in the sense, but I'm just saying in all of our lives, we all need to ask the Lord, Lord, help us to be equitable in our life, you know, to do the things that were that would please you and that would bring honor to you. And boy, I tell you, when you ask God that, he'll take you to the woodshed once in a while when it don't happen, you know.
There was a man I read about that didn't profess to be a Christian, say he was, but he used Christian principles in his business, and he did very well, made a lot of money. Whether he ever came to the place of giving his heart to the Lord, or nobody professed how that adult using these principles is how his business had really prospered.
My son does that. He works. He lays carpet. Anything on your floor, whatever he asks for, he can do it.
Right.
Because he's been in the business since he was, you know.
That's good to know, because I might need a carpet layer sometime.
But he does a good job.
Yeah.
Because he gets phone calls from people that he did business for 10 years ago.
Right.
And they'll call him and say, Jim, I need carpet. Mm-hmm. I say, okay. But he can't lie. Mm-hmm. His whole just changes if he tells a story, a lie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, but he did carpet, this big job.
Yeah.
He did carpet. Well, they gave him so much trouble, the owners. Oh, this and that. Here. And he went on and, but this one spot, 1 year, they called back and said, there's something wrong with my carpet. 1 year. Yeah. And Jim says, I'm not going to fix it. I'm not going to go back. Because when he tells you something, you better listen to him. Because he's telling you what to do, not what not to do, because it'll mess it up.
Right.
He didn't do the job. He felt bad.
Yeah.
He thought about it. It's been a year. He didn't like these people to be in with. Year went by. And it ate Jim so bad, he went and did the job. He had to do it over again. At his cost, not theirs. Mm-hmm. So
that's the kind of man I want for my carpet layer.
Well,
can't tell him why.
He just got done with his job.
Yeah.
And the guy was old. Mm-hmm. And he didn't walk good. He sat in a chair. And he pushed it like this, and the bottom of the chair
made wrinkles in it or something.
It scraped the carpet.
It split it.
And so they said, you know, you have to fix that. Jim says, but he did, because the man was old, he was crippled.
Yeah.
His wife was old, and she, you know, so he went back and fixed it for him. I was glad, because he had so much carpet in this one room of ours. I was glad to see it leave. You know, and so I'll help you. But he fixed it, because he can't stand it when something goes wrong.
And his name is being.
And he has to go fix it. It bothers him.
Well, your son is a Christian too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a Christian. And sometimes God will cause you to, to do things that you know you don't really have to do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, but maybe you should do it, you know what I mean?
Would somebody look up in the Strong's or wherever, Oscar, because I know you've got it, that word business, and kind of give me your take on it, because it doesn't really mean business. It's the thing that you're busy with. Mm-hmm. So maybe that is, you know.
I'll tell you in just a second.
Yeah, because I was just looking at it, and it's kind of
11, 12,
throwing
11.
Me off a little bit there.
Okay.
You want G4710 if you want to do it that way.
I've already got it.
Okay.
Okay. The Strong's definition is, the word is spude.
Mm-hmm.
It's 4692 is what it says here. Implication to dispatch, eagerness, business, earnest, care. This is the earnest, carefulness, diligence, forwardness, and haste. And the Thayer's, let's see what it says there. Thayer's is haste with haste. It says... Well, it gives you different places, but it's got Josephus and different things in there. And it says, universally in earnestness in accomplishing, promoting, or striving after anything. So that's pretty good. But when it's telling you not to be slothful in business, let's see what slothful means there. I'm sure it probably doesn't have a very good meaning. See. It doesn't. Sometimes the translation that they make on these things is are not the greatest. It says it's tardy, idle, to be idledent.
Mm-hmm.
Can't pronounce that word. Irksome, grievance, and slothful. That's what that. The original word meant there, and
because in the Passion it doesn't really mention business. It says be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion toward Him boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit, and let Him fill you with the excitement as you serve Him. And you know the business that you do. Let it be under the Lord.
Well, see, that's where God wants you to be successful. Years ago, one time, I was working at U.S. Drillhead, and they made me a group leader over the largest department in that company, which, you know, it was most of the machine shop.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when they made me that, every day I would go in and I would pray, and I'd say, Lord, please help me do this job, because I'm doing it as unto you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was very good at that job, not because I was good, but because the Lord helped me, and I knew that, see? Mm-hmm. Because I was not the most educated, I was not the most a lot of things, but God put me in that position, and the reason He did was so I would learn a lot of principles, and I learned a lot of things in there about dealing with people and everything else. But anyway, I found out that, you know, there would be times when a job would come through the shop, and it would be a hot job, and my immediate supervisor over me should have came and told me, we've got this particular job coming through there, and it's been promised in a real short span of time,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we'll have to jump right on this and try to do it. Well, a lot of times they didn't come and tell me. You know, they just didn't come and tell me. But the Lord would always make it where I would find out about it somehow. A salesman would come by, or somebody would be walking up the aisle that from the office or the inner office, and they, which was not over me, had nothing to do with me, would have dealt with my immediate supervisor, the bigger guy above me, who was over the whole complete shop. And anyway, they might say, well, Oscar, they'd say, how are you coming on such and such spindles or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say, well, what do you mean? And he'd say, you know, because I had dates on when I was supposed to do stuff. Well, they moved these up, you know, to immediate, where they needed immediate.
Without telling you.
And a lot of the things that I would have to do, I might have to machine a part, because we had made the part complete. I would have to machine a part. Then I might have to send it out for heat treat. It might have to come back in. And then, you know, and things, sometimes it would be a lot of time involved in making some of these parts. Well, inevitably, I would always find out. I would always find out. I mean, and you know, like when we did inventory in that department, I had the largest department. So I would have like sometimes 400 jobs going through my department. You know, 400, and what you had to do when we did inventory, you had to fill out a tag and put it, go around all over the department where the parts were, whatever process they were in, and put a tag on that part so that when the guys doing the inventory came through, they could look and find everything, you know, and know how to do the taxes. I don't know exactly how that worked. But anyway, I had like 400 jobs going through my department. And like I say, the Lord helped me every day, because I don't have the greatest memory in the world, you know. I mean, you know, and I'm not the sharpest guy in the world, and I don't even begin to claim that. but anyway, like, after the inventory was up, when they would come around, the supervisors would come around after they had inventoried things, and then they would say, well, where's this job or where's that job, if you didn't have it inventoried, you know. Because they knew you should know where it was and how far in the process it was. They would use me to get on the other guys, and I didn't like that. They would go to maybe some other department, and they'd say, "Well, you've only got 20 jobs coming through here, and you can't find this part. You don't know where that is, and you can't tell me where that is." They'd say, "Oscar's got 400, and every one of his is marked, and we know where everything is." Well, it wasn't because Oscar was doing it. It was because the Lord was helping me, and I knew that. I mean, and I, you know, praise the Lord for that. And then what would happen would be they would try to work against me a lot of times because they resented that. And God was causing me to prosper in that, you know. And they would try to work against me. Well, like, when I would get all of the parts that went inside these big heads that we made, I would get them all for each job, and I'd have them machined and in the stock room where they could pull them out and start assembling. Well, somebody over in the boring department where they were boring these heads, they would jump way out of sequence, you know, where they should have been boring the heads that we had parts for. They bore the heads that we didn't have parts for. Well, I might have 20 or 30 jobs sitting in, and they're totally complete, ready to be assembled. And they bore something way out somewhere else or something, you know. And they did stuff like that all the time. But, you know, I still, if they come to me and say, Oscar, I need a tool made, or I need this, or I need that, I would still stop and do whatever I could do for them. I didn't let them get me into a place of resentment or anything like that. And when I got ready to leave the company, when I was going to go in with my brother, they told me different times. They said, Oscar, you're the best supervisor we've ever had in this company. Mm-hmm. And didn't attribute that to me. I attributed it to the Lord helping me. And he did help me. And you know, they were talking about, the vice president of the company was talking to me. And when he knew I was going to go in with my brother, he said, you know, he said, we really hate to see you go. And he said, we've been discussing shutting down your whole department and giving you all the work to take up there with your brother. There was no way he could handle it. His shop was just a little shop. I mean, you know, I had a lot of machines in my department. I had the most machines in the whole company. And there was just no way that he could have handled it. And I said, well, I said, I really don't feel like we could handle that amount of work, you know. And they said, well, we've thought about doing that, you know, about just shutting down that. And I mean, I would have said that to him, but first of all, he really, when I got up there, he really didn't totally do what he promised me he would do and all that kind of stuff. He didn't fulfill his word, and I took him at his word, and he didn't really keep his word. you know. But anyway, it ended up where, you know, different times they would call me and ask me to tell them how to do something down there, and I'd go down there and I'd help them with something, and they got squared away after a while after I was gone. But I knew God was helping me, and it was because I, every day when I'd go in there, I'd pray and I'd say, Lord, please let me, help me do this job as unto you, you know. And I did, and I'm going to tell you what, it was amazing how that I would be able to know things, and I would find out things that there shouldn't have been no way. And a lot of them would work against me. And when I was in talking to one of the supervisors in another department, he said, Oscar, I heard that you're going to be leaving. I said, yeah. I said, I'm going to go in with my brother. We're supposed to start a grinding company there too. And he says, I was talking to Jerry Nimberg, you know. And I said, oh, yeah. And Jerry Nimberg was the CEO of the company. He's the top guy. And he said, boy, I really hate to see Oscar go. He said, he's telling me, Jerry said this. He said, we had big plans for him. Well, I'd been there for 18 years, and the big plans, I was so good at what I was doing, I don't think they ever would have taken me out of that position, see, because I had another guy, they were getting ready to promote somebody over in another department I used to work in at one time, and they were talking to me about it. And I told them, I said, well, why don't you promote Ronnie Ross into that job? And they told me, they says, well, that'd be like cutting your nose off in spite of yourself because he was good at what he did. I said, no. I said, that would make your whole department better because he's so good at what he does. Anytime anybody else is having a problem, he could step right in there and say, here, this is how you fix that. Here's what you do, or this or that. Well, that's what I did in my department because I knew how to do a lot of different things. But, you know, and finally they did promote him, and he did a really good job. But companies think, well, I'm not going to move somebody out of a position where they're doing really good because that way, you know, it's going to hurt my production or whatever.
Yeah.
Not realizing it's going to make it better, you know. But, you know.
Guess we better head on down the road.
But anyway, the business thing, don't do your business the same as the same Christian principles that you do your life.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what that word, you know, kind of means earnest haste. And, you know, just it, as unto the Lord.
Yeah, right.
Because it is truly all under the Lord.
It
that's
is.
All there is. It that's is. All there is.
There's a verse in Romans 13 that says, let us live and conduct ourselves honorably. The company has the light, open light of day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like I say, you can't do different in your business dealings than you do with your Christian dealings. They're the same
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
It's all the same.
It's all the same.
I love that feeling that your character is how you act when nobody's watching.
Right.
Yeah. It should be the same.
Right.
No difference to you whether somebody's watching you or not.
Yeah.
So, Mike, would you close us? Mike, would you close us out?
Sure. Father, thank you for this opportunity today, Father. And Father, we just know that you want us to be forthright in who we are in you, Lord. And Father, we just want to give you all the praise and glory for what has been heard here today. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
And bless that.